more of him this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. How many is happy to be Christians?
Yes.
Amen. How many is happy to have a church body that you're part of?
Amen.
It's nothing like church family. Amen. It's always good to be part of a family, and it's good to be home. Amen.
Amen.
No place like home, a place where you can just relax and don't have to be anything special or anything like that. Just be yourself. That's the way it is with home folks. So it's good to be with you this morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 through 18. Also, Paul speaking. Remember, Paul is the messenger of the first church age and the one that laid the foundation for the entire New Testament church. And he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty."
Amen.
And let's go to Revelation 18, verse 1 through 5. John speaking says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. The earth was lightened with his glory.
Yes.
He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty we have in your presence, as the psalm said, that our faith will be increased there when we're in your presence. And so, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this place and this people and this time and opportunity to just pour our hearts out to you and just allow you, Lord, just to come in and speak to us. So we surrender to you this morning, Lord, and ask God that you would speak to our hearts from your word. Do that which only you can do, that no man is able to do, but only you can do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Still talking this morning about the third Exodus, kind of on that topic, and so maybe, if the Lord willing, we'll finish up today the things that he wants to share with you about it. Third Exodus. And the title list today is Possessing the Promised Land. Amen. I mean, always God wants us to possess the promised land.
Amen.
Amen. So, we kind of rehearsed a couple of things. Brother Branham said there that the book of Ephesians of the New Testament and the book of Joshua of the Old Testament, they parallel one another. that he actually said that the book of Joshua, the way he said it, the book of Joshua is the book of Ephesians of the Old Testament. That's the way he said it. A lot of times we say it the other way around, but the book of Joshua is the Ephesians of the Old Testament. And he said there must come another Ephesians, another Ephesus again. You know, Ephesus was where it started, right? First church age, Ephesus. Paul was the messenger to that age. Paul was the messenger to the entire building of God of the New Testament. And so, you know that when Omega shows up, when he comes along, Omega cannot be different than Alpha. It has to be really the completion of what Alpha was. And so it makes sense that we must come to the fullness of what Ephesus was to begin with. And so that's why the prophet said there we must have another Ephesians again, or another Ephesus again. So in a sermon called God Who is Rich in Mercy, he said, I was speaking last Sunday on Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was the book of redemption. A lot of people may not think about that. It was the book of redemption. And redemption has two parts, coming out of and entering into. First, you have to come out. Some people want to come and bring the world with them, but you got to come out of the world and enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way to really have genuine faith. You must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind and to enter into faith. And that was the book of the Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, where Moses represented the law, could not save no one, but grace could. And here, Joshua is the same word as Jesus, Jehovah Savior. And now then we find out that we have come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now, where that in our intellectual denominations and so forth, and all the educational programs has come to its Jordan. And then we must have an Ephesus again. We must have an Exodus to come out and to go into for the rapture. Amen. And so, you know, whenever we know that the coming to the Jordan represents death. And the prophet is telling us here that we've come to this time, we must have another Ephesus, we must have another Jordan. Another crossing of Jordan, because all of the denominations are dead. They have to die. We have to die from those. All man-made systems, its effect on us has to die. We have to cross Jordan, and once we cross death to those things,
yes.
Right? Death to those things we've left behind. And so that's even greater than crossing the Red Sea, getting away from Egypt. But now we've got to cross over and come to a death. And when you think of death, there's no going back. Right? There's no going back to that. And so that's why we have to have another Ephesus. And so he's showing us here that coming to Jordan again, a death, we have to have another Exodus and another Ephesus again. And so this tells us that when we're talking about coming into this promised land, then it's the placing of us as the sons of God, placing us into our authority. It is placing us into something that God gave to us from the foundation of the world long ago. He gave it to us, but we didn't know it.
Right.
Right? We didn't know it.
Right.
And so when this time comes, then a huge portion of it has to do with us learning about what we didn't know. Mm-hmm. Right? Us learning about what God knew all along about us, but we didn't.
Right.
So when that ties back to when that which is perfect has come, we'll see face to face then. We won't be looking through a glass darkly. We'll be able to see clearly, and we will be known as we are known.
Right.
And so it all culminates in this age that we're in here. And so coming to this promised land, having this Ephesus again, having a third Exodus, it means possessing what God has given to us all along. And it also means winning every battle.
Right.
That's what it all is. And I said last week, it ends up with our body change. Right? For this age, it ends, because this is the last, this is time. And so walking in the victory of this day winds up with a body change for you and I.
Right.
But it is one battle after another battle, having to fight the enemy to possess the things that God said we could have. So in this little mini-series, if you want to call it, I've been trying to take everybody through and show us the things that has happened and the sequence of how it goes. And because you can look at that and you know the whole sequence, you kind of know how much further you got until you get where you're going. And so that's to look at the sequence of these things and see where we are in those, in that process, and to see what happened to those who had different ideas along the way. And then for us to be able to look at all that and then examine ourselves and ask ourselves, where are we in it? And what is our attitude about these things that has been transpiring in our day and our message? You know that as they were journeying there on this journey, to me, each day became more and more real to them. It should have become more and more real to the children of Israel each day. Each day should have come to a greater realization that, listen, God's going to do, God is doing this. He's actually doing this.
Right.
He's actually taking a people, and they're going to be in that land because we see his supernatural hand doing step one, step two, step three. We see him supernaturally taking over, and he is walking us through this pathway. Somebody's going to wind up over there, right?
Right.
And so it should become more real. And real in several ways to know we saw the mighty hand of God come and deliver us from Egypt and from the things there. And we've seen his mighty hand purging his people along the way, that when things and isms and stuff rises up that's contrary to the word, he wipes it out because he cannot take that in. And so we've witnessed this. We have seen the mighty hand of God come and absolutely put down the denominational system because he raised Christ up out of history and made him alive again.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And so we've seen that. There's no denying of the supernatural presence of God that come in this day and did the things that he's doing. And there's no denying that all these isms and all these different squabbles that has risen up and what it has done, and it just cost us a bunch of time while we're walking around in this wilderness waiting for those who've done that to die off so that God can go ahead and take a people on in.
Correct.
I say that humbly, believing, hoping and believing that we're not of those who die off in the land, but those who believe unto the saving of the soul.
Right.
Amen. Amen, as the scripture says. Right. We're not of those that draw back unto perdition, but we are those that believe unto the saving of the soul.
Amen.
And so that journey must become more and more real. I think by the time the children of Israel got and actually were crossing over into the promised land, that they, in their belt, under their belt, they had many experiences that they could testify that this thing is real.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And God's not playing. Right? He's not playing. He's not going to grade on the curve as you would like in school when you know the thing is to make 100 on it. And in my time, there was always one or two students always made 100% on everything. They were those star students.
Yeah.
And then you had people like me, you know, that made C's, B's and C's, and once in a while a D. And so, but when it seemed like that when the entire class, when the teacher would give a test in the entire class, that nobody made above a B, well, the teacher would just shift that right on up, and that person that had the highest score, that would now be 100, and it would draw everybody up higher than what it was. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
God doesn't do that.
No.
His word is it. He doesn't grade on the curve.
Right.
Right? So he's serious about this, and we've come far enough to know that he's very serious. He's going to have somebody going in. And so what is this land? I didn't really get very far on it last week on that. But what is this land we're going to? We read the quote there the last two Sundays in a row, that our land is a new message. It's a message that sets us free from the bondage that we were in. Amen.
Amen.
It's a revelation
right.
that comes from God. And it is that when this revelation comes, that when it is believed and it is acted upon, it takes a people in.
Right?
It takes a people in. Those people back then had to believe God's word enough to go fight those enemies, and God would give them victories. No different today. We have to believe what God has revealed enough to take hold on it and live it. And as we take hold on it and live it, these enemies will fall one by one. Not one of them can stand before us if we do this.
Right?
That's the way it is. And this is the kind of belief that God wants us to have.
Right.
I mean, has he ever failed? Has his word ever been wrong? No. So the weak link there says, hey, can we believe that he's actually going to do this?
Yeah.
And at some point, the experiences we've had and what we've seen happen, it needs to mount up and begin to build up to where we get to the place where we say, you know what? I'm not doubting anymore. This is happening, and I'm going to stick with it. Amen. Because God's going to take a people in. And so we just believe it'll take a people in. But it is according to what has been revealed. In other words, it's not the traditional thing that we've known for so many hundreds of years. See, God, the Bible speaks of mysteries, that God would bring these things out. And so that in itself tells you that if the denominations would just read their Bible, they should not be offended in the fact that God has done something great and powerful, and then maybe they hadn't heard this before, but they should say, praise God, it's in his word. We didn't know it all these years, but the Bible tells us there's coming a time where these things are going to be made known, and we should rejoice and rally about it. But instead, people get offended. And the reason why they get offended is because they have denominated down, you become some man-made something, and they know that their system is not providing this. Jesus, they wouldn't accept him when he came because he wasn't part of their system. So God just wants us to keep moving with the light as he moves, and when he keeps revealing things, he wants us to keep going with it. And so it has to be according to what is being revealed. It's because what's being revealed is what's bringing this Ephesus. And the book of Ephesus, as we read in the Bible, is a synopsis of this whole process of what it is. And when we come to this time of this third Exodus, when we come to this time when we are to enter in, and there is to be an Ephesus that would place us in the things that God has given to each one of us, a place in Christ Jesus, where nobody's trying to be in a spot they're not supposed to be. Everybody's right where they're supposed to be in the ministry and in what their position is in the body. No questions about it.
Right.
And so when that time comes, then we are placed into by that message that comes, by those truths, by those mystery that's revealed. Those are the very things that places us right where we cannot be defeated. If you believe it.
Right.
Amen. If you believe it. And so it places us there, and it places us by what it brings, and what it brings to us is a revelation of who we are,
right,
and what belongs to us.
Amen.
We didn't know this, right? I went to churches, Pentecostal, Baptist, different churches growing up. I never heard these things. I did not know up until coming to the message. I did not know, and of course now you see it. It's in the Bible all over the place. I just thought the church was, you know, they didn't even talk about it being bride, but I just thought the church, that would be bride or whatever. I didn't know that God takes a special people out of to be the bride.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you something. When we want to be safe, we don't want our country to be overtaken by other militaries, and because you know what all that means. So we want our generals and our soldiers, we want them to be the elite. Right? We want that these soldiers, when the head command comes down through the general and said, do thus, thus, and thus, we expect them soldiers to do exactly what that plan is. The soldiers may not understand what the plan is. They may not see the whole picture of the war, what's going on, like generals do. But they're expected to believe every word that comes down through their chain of command, to believe it and go with it and go act it out. And by doing that, they bring to pass the victory that the head general knew all along could happen.
Right.
But what if they don't do that? What if they won't listen to those things that come when it comes time? We go, well, I don't. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense. We just have to know what the chain of command is, where it's coming, and I'll act out my part, knowing that it's part of the victory that he's bringing to us. Amen? We want, we've got Navy SEALs, Green Berets, we got all these different ones, and they are the elite, they are the special trained people of the forces. And we're not offended with the fact that they're not offended. Let's just say that we are, we want to be part of these elite forces, right? You know that they don't go in there thinking, well, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'll just go in there and slough off. No, they know that in order to be the cream of the crop, that they know that in order to be the ones to make the difference in the battle, to be able to do special missions to get the enemy killed when others might not be able to do it, they know that in order to do that, they have to be elite, they have to study, they have to practice, it has to be hard.
Right.
They know that. And they're not offended with that because they know that's what comes with it. And we would look at that and we would pat them on the back and say, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for giving when it hurt, way beyond so that we didn't have to. Thank you for that. But when it comes to the gospel, when we talk about being elite and it costing, and somebody has to work hard and give their life, then for some reason we don't like that. Right? It's a serious matter.
Right?
Amen. And so it brings us a revelation of who we are. It brings a revelation of what belongs to us. We have to go fight for it. So we're going to talk about the book of Ephesians again today. I'm going to try and go through it really quick so I don't keep you really long. You can pray for that if you want. Just pray that the Lord gets the point across quickly, and then we won't be long, and I don't intend to be. But we're going to talk about the book of Ephesians, and as we do, I want you to consider what this sounded like to the Gentiles. Because remember, God sent Paul to the Gentiles. It was establishing the Ephesian church age, and so his word to the Ephesus, which was a type of the entire kicking off of the New Testament bride, the building of God, starting with Ephesus. And so the book of Ephesus is Paul's speaking to them, and you'll find out that Paul is speaking to them things he couldn't speak to anybody else. Because that's speaking, that's kicking off the bride movement that's going to be seven ages. Right? And so Paul's speaking that. And so he comes and he has to bring a message that was not just to Jews, but he was bringing it to a people who were not a people in God's economy. Right? That's what the scripture said. And so, a people like the scripture said that, I forget how it was worded, that basically the one who was destitute has more children than the one who was. So in other words, there's more of God moving in the Gentile bride. There's more fruit there than there was in Israel.
Yep.
Right? And so fails me to quote it exactly. But those who read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. And so as we do, what I want to look at that, and Paul is bringing this to the Gentiles, so this is all news to them. They haven't heard this stuff. They don't have all this Jewish customs and all that, so this is all new to them. And so it was a very radical message, radical more to the Jews than it would be Gentile, because the Jews had always been taught, hey, we're God's people, those Gentiles, they're nothing, they're dogs, they ain't nothing. And now all of a sudden, Paul rises up and he starts saying, oh, guess what? They're the people. Well, that would be offensive to tradition, right? This message, this new land, this Ephesus would be offensive to tradition. But yet it was God's move.
Right.
Amen. And so think about that as we read these words, what this would mean to Gentiles. And so it was radical to the Jews, but be glorious to those who it's for. Amen? And so, the first two chapters of the book of Ephesus is where Paul is telling us of this inheritance that comes, tells tells this Gentile people, hey, by the way, you know, this is for you. And this is what God has given to you before the foundation of the world. He's given this to you. I know the Jews and they, but this is something greater, and this is for you. Okay? And so I'm just going to go through it. I didn't have her put it there because I don't want her working herself to death trying to follow me on these scriptures. But if you've read your Bible, you'll know these things that I'm saying. And I'm just going down to the sequence, and I'm not hitting every verse there, but you'll get the point. So Paul kicks off this movement to start a foundation for the entire bride movement to be built on, that at the end, the prophet in our day would have to say, I've stayed right with it.
Right?
So he's starting this off, and Paul is telling us these things. He says to the Gentiles that God has chosen you in Christ Jesus before the world was. Right?
Yep.
That you should be holy. See, everybody wants to act like God is not holy and he doesn't require holiness and all that. But Paul is saying to the Gentiles, they don't know nothing about all this. And he's come and said, guess what? God has chosen you. Coming out from all that Old Testament, he's chosen you from the foundation world. You're already in Christ before he ever created the planets and everything. You're already there, right? And what this is going to bring you to is it's going to bring you to the place that you will be holy. And you are without blame before him in love. That's his love.
Right?
You're without blame. And so I said recently, holiness just means set apart. God is in a category of his own. He's the only creator. He's the only one that's got divine love, right? I mean, he's the only one. He's in a class of his own. And all he's saying is, I have chosen you to be holy. So I've chosen you to come out from among, right? I've chosen you to come out from those things and to come and stand in this position where you possess all the things I promised you from the foundation of the world. So I've asked you to be holy. I've asked you to come out from the world, be separate from the world, be like me. Have my influence upon you so that if I stand for life, you'll stand for life. If I have laws and rules that always works to perpetuate holiness and life and joy, that you'll always live and act out everything that I tell you because it's all for life and joy and peace and happiness. Right? So he's just saying, come out. And you can't stay back in Egypt. You can't stay back in the world and have this. You've got to come out from those things to possess the character, nature, presence, eternal life of God. You can't stay back in those things. His Bible declares that from one end to the other. Amen. So, that we should be holy and without blame. And Paul, I love it, because Paul said before him.
Yeah.
Because the world ain't going to see you that way. Right? It don't matter what the world thinks. You know what? You don't have to worry about what other people think, but you do have to worry about what God thinks.
Right?
Right?
Right.
You do. Right? And therefore, If this group is called out and they are holy, then among them is going to be lifestyles and actions that is pleasing to God, right? They'll be separated. And so, to me, it would be natural that we would be fruit inspectors. We would look and we'd see. And you yourself, if walking with the Lord, would have your own convictions to know in his presence that if you're not living right, you would have condemnation in your heart, right? It's very simple. That if you walk with the Lord, he'll teach you and guide you, and he'll bring to pass what he's promised. So, that we should be holy without blame before him. Love predestinated us unto adoption. Now, this is Bible adoption. You know what the Bible adoption is. So, he's predestinated us unto adoption. That is to come into authority. We gave that to us from the foundation world. It's already ours. It's already given to us. This is why the prophet said that he would say to Adam and Eve, if you do this, then I'll do this. And they failed. But when he comes to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I've done it. Not if you do good, Abraham, if you do that, then I'll. No, I've done it. And God took Abraham through all kinds of issues and proved it after it's all with that God had done it. He's doing the same thing now.
Right.
Because we're the seed of Abraham. He is proving to us, if you'll just hang on to him, he's proving to us that every bit of this word has come to the past. Even the news is telling us these things that we've heard. I don't know if I want to get into that or not. I was asked questions to AI because they can quickly get me to sources that I can vet to see whether it's right or not. And I would ask a question, gave some answers. So I asked some questions and gave some answers. And I could see it right quick. It's very biased. Very biased, AI. What the answers it gives to you is biased. It's biased toward the sinful thoughts of the world.
Yeah.
And this question, I'm not going to tell you what it was because it would open your mind up to all kinds of things. I could later, but not right now. But I asked it would give me an answer, and I'd ask another question based upon that. And I'd ask it, and after about the third time, it actually came back and said, "It's not what you're insinuating." And I said, "I'm not insinuating anything. I'm asking questions." Right? Because the form of my questions, I had zoomed in on the fact that it was biased and it didn't like it.
Yep.
So my whole point is, can you trust in that?
No.
For truth?
No.
No.
Nope.
And like I said, I can tell you, and it's ridiculous what they were trying to say. Just like, you know, just as ridiculous as to say that there's more than two genders. Mm-hmm. Yet they pushed that. See? And so anyway, that we were predestinated unto adoption to come into authority. That word unto is a more formal description. It didn't say predestinated us to adoption, but unto adoption. It's a more formal description, bringing us to a specific thing,
right,
of adoption coming into authority. Said that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is all new stuff to the Gentiles. So I tell you that over here, even though we've been brought up in church systems, when this message comes, it's going to be telling us things that we weren't aware of. And it's going to be telling us that we've got benefits that we didn't know we had. Kind of like Esther. She could go before the king anytime she wanted to, but she didn't know it until she come to the place where she had desperation brought her to it. Amen?
Yeah, right.
That redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, making known unto us the mystery, meaning it was not known for a while, but now in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this mystery, right?
Right.
The mystery of his will, that in due time, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, hey, back in denomination, they don't even talk about there being seven ages. I don't even know if I know it.
Right?
But Paul is saying, listen, we're coming to adoption, and I want you to know these things. And in the process of knowing these things, there's dispensations of time. And after God dispenses out first age, second, third, all the way up to, as he gets to the seventh church age, right? As he dispenses and all that, at that point, he's going to gather everything in Christ. That's it, both in heaven and in earth. Rapture, right? And resurrection and all that. So Paul is speaking of all these things that we get to come to know in perfect form when this Ephesus starts taking a place again, when we start coming out of things, hearing a new message, we're gonna understand these things. Making known us to this mystery that in due time he would gather together everything that's in him. And he goes on and he says, he's showing us that the Holy Spirit that God gives to us is a seal. It is a seal and it is the earnest of your redemption. He wants us to understand that once you have this experience here on this side, once you get that Holy Spirit in your life, and it's the true Holy Spirit, you are as good as there. Because you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Now, that's not on somebody who gets it on their flesh, but he's talking to those who are going in.
Right.
Now, when that comes upon that group of people, that it is, as you're done, right? You're there. But you still have to walk it. And so it's earnest of the inheritance. And he's speaking of all these things, the inheritance. So you see why do we speak so much? Me and Brother Daniel Bo, we speak so much about how important it is to get the Holy Spirit in your life. Because for us, under this message, it becomes the earnest of the inheritance. So in all this, Paul speaking to the Gentiles, he's letting them know that, hey, you've got an inheritance. This comes from God. Amen? That was chapter 1. Chapter 2, he goes on, he says, yeah, you Gentiles, who were once dead in sins and trespasses. Right? And you were dead in sins and trespasses, and we were. And if we were worshiping God underneath a vain system, we were still dead in our sins and trespasses. Right? Trespasses. Right? We were. But God, who is rich in mercy, has raised us up again. Right? Raised us up. Raised us up. Speaking of resurrection and rapture, we have been resurrected from formal denominationalism.
Right.
There's been a resurrection in our day. What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is. I'm quoting the prophet. I'm showing you this is what he taught us because it's right here in the Bible.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
And so he's raised us up. And he says that in the ages to come, he would show us these things.
Right.
In the ages to come, he would show us what is the exceeding riches of his grace toward us. He didn't say, Paul didn't say in his day, he said, but in the ages to come, as this all unfolds, he's going to show us Gentiles the exceeding riches of his grace that he's poured out toward us. This is going to come clear to us at the end. That's what Paul is saying. Amen? That in the ages to come, grace toward us. Grace is unmerited favor. Because he goes on, and remember, Gentiles, he's talking and says, you're saved by grace. And Christ, he is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall. He's coming out of all this Jewish stuff and coming to the Gentiles, and he's saying to them, listen, this wall that's been here all this time between the Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, right? This wall, Christ has broken down that wall. You now have access to this through grace, right?
Yeah.
He is your peace, right? You don't need to be looking to this and looking to that. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is your peace. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. There's a song we sing. I've heard a song. I don't think we sing it, but he's broken down that wall, gave us access to what we previously thought was no access to us. Amen. That we are no longer strangers, but we are fellow citizens of the household of God. We Gentiles hadn't heard anything like that before, right? Paralleling today that God would speak to us things that we were not aware of. That this message would say things to us like, you know what the true revelation of justification is? You don't find that somewhere else. True justification means you never did in the first place.
Right.
Luther didn't have that. He left off before he got that far, right? True justification.
Right.
You are the sinless, right? Virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all stuff. You don't hear that back where we were in bondage. But it's part of the new message telling us.
Right.
And God expects the people to believe that, the people he's given it to. Amen.
Right.
So, chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's telling us all about this inheritance that we have and what belongs to us.
Right.
And then when we get to chapter 3, Paul says, and because of this, Because he has predestinated you from the foundation of the world. You didn't know it. All this stuff belongs to you. Because of this, I am a prisoner to him, and he has sent me to you to tell you. That's chapter 3.
Yep.
I beseech you that you do this, that he has sent me. And Paul says, I'm a prisoner. You know, when you say prisoner, it's like you almost have no choice. But we know that God gives us free moral agency. We have choice. So what Paul was saying, Paul had a revelation. He had caught up in the revelation, and he knew. And so by his own choice, by his own will, he said, I cannot walk away from my own revelation of this, that I have to go to these Gentiles.
Right.
And so he was a prisoner to Christ. And in Ephesians, and she don't have to pull it up if she wants to, but Ephesians 3:10, he's brought all this, I've brought this to you to the intent that you could, that now we could, you could know all the way into principalities and powers and heavenly places, that you might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Not just, but all the way to principalities and powers and all these realms, and how that Michael was Christ in angelic form, and that Michael fought the war again. All we have to know this, because he's you understand what I'm saying? He's showing this in these scriptures, and we've got to come to this. And so here we are this day, and a message, not church in that, but a message is brought to us, the understanding of these principalities and these powers and all these things. It has been brought to us to understand. Why? Because the scripture said that we might come to that knowledge and understand things. Why? Because he shows you things. You know, you don't show everything to everybody else, but those that are your friends, those that are your mate, those, then, you know, you open your hearts to them. And so, verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, that he wants us coming to that too, that's part of it, love, we may be able to comprehend with all saints, not just some people in the church, but everybody to come to this understanding, right? That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Two, three things there. That you'll know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. That means that not one of us can hash up the understanding in ourselves. It has to be revelation.
Right?
That we could be filled, talking about the whole church, that we could be filled with the fullness of God.
Right.
What are we saying at the end time? That he comes and she becomes him.
Right.
The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Mm-hmm. And I think I can say this. The fullness of the Godhead in the end time dwells in the bride of Christ.
Yes, he does.
Right?
Amen. Right.
Here it is again.
Yep.
I ask you what message brought that. I've listened to Benny Hinn many years ago. I never heard this.
Right.
I was in Pentecost for many, Baptist, whatever. I didn't hear this.
No.
Right? No. All this is doing is bringing to us this inheritance and making this known to us what belongs to us. Now, we've got to go to possess it. We've got to take what has been given and say, I believe it, and I'm going to go make it happen because I've got God on my side.
Right.
And until that happens, we have no more sustenance. Remember I said last week or week before last that, when they went into that promised land, all that manna and all that ceased. Now they had to, in order to eat, they had to possess. Want to have strength in your walk today, start possessing this promised land, this new message that God has given. Amen. Start possessing it.
Right.
That we could be the fullness of God. That's chapter 3 where Paul's saying, hey, I sent to you, and this is what he wants to bring you to. You know, God sent Moses to the children of Israel to bring them out and cause them to possess things, and had Joshua go ahead and take them on in. Had Paul come along and do the same thing, take them out and positionally place them. And here at the end time, in the third Exodus, we had another powerful ministry that would come along and would bring us out of that grip. And through this walk, we would eventually wind up to possess all these things that come that was delivered to us after a time of testing. That was chapter 3. And in chapter 4, see, when chapter 3 says, because you're predestined, God sent me to take. Now in chapter 4, now this one, Paul, it says, now, because of this, I beseech you that you walk worthy of this thing you've been called to. Remember, it's Gentiles. They didn't know. They're coming into this new. Really? God, we're God, yeah, that's right. And here's what God expects of you. He expects you. He's already told you, I've given it to you. You can have it, but not if you don't fight for it.
Right.
Right? So you can have this, and so he says, I beseech you. And now we're going to talk for a while about the things he said. And he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of this calling that you have. This,
right?
Yep. Walk worthy of it. In other words, you can't be off back there. You got to come into this thing. Walk worthy of it.
Right.
And walk worthy. And so he's doing the same thing Joshua said. Joshua said, when in this coming into the land, he said, choose you this day what you're going to do. Right? Choose this day. Are you going to serve God or are you going to play around with all this other stuff?
Right.
Paul's saying the same thing. I beseech you that you walk worthy of this, that you act this out, that you go and you possess these things and take over because they're yours. God has given it to you. But you got to fight it. And so, choose this day. Paul's saying the same thing there.
Right.
It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Man.
Wow.
Right.
Just that in itself right there. That with lowliness, not haughtiness, this, to understand these things, it should make you humble.
Right.
Right? With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. What do you got to be long suffering of? Because not everybody's coming in this all at once. You got to wait on people. You can't. No, we're not going over without everybody, right? So long suffering. People are going to do you wrong. Going to misunderstand things. It is required that we have long suffering. Why? Because our Lord did. Right? He's bringing us to these things. Right? And so when things start to irritate you, don't fly off the handle. Stop and say, who am I? What message has come to me?
Right.
I am not going to fly off the handle like this. I'm going to dig down from my experience of what God has told me, and I'm going to handle this with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a test. It's a trial. Because people can rub you wrong.
Right.
Especially the ones that should know better.
Right.
They really get you going. Right? Amen. And we'll get to it in a little bit. And because of that, you can't let the sun go down on your wrath. We'll get there in a little bit, right? Because it's going to happen. Right? And so, that we would endeavor to keep unity of the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, right? He said, now this is what you're to push. This is what you're to fight for. You are to fight to keep everybody in the unity of the Spirit. Right? And do it peacefully.
Right.
Right? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right? So, because of these things, we're hearing it in our day. Paul was bringing this to these Gentiles. They hadn't heard these things before, but he was bringing it to them. And so I'm making the parallel of the day. Because of these things, now we understand in great detail what Paul was speaking of. Because remember, that church was supposed to be all the things, and it fell away, but then at the end, God's going to bring a restoration, and now we've been restored back to the fullness and more of what Paul was saying. So, right? So let me just go through this. So now we know, because of these things, that God is taking the confusion out, now we know there's one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one hope. Right?
Yeah.
It's clear to us now. There's not three different spirits out. There's one Spirit of God, and it's in the form of the Holy Spirit to us right now. But that same Holy Ghost is seven spirits in the seven ages because it's the seven different men, seven different movements. But we understand there's one who sits on the throne. Outside of these things, they don't know this. They're still confused. Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to the Son? Do I pray to the Holy Ghost?
Yep.
Right?
Right?
Amen. But we know. Why do we know? Because someone came with a divine call, a prisoner of Christ, a spiritual unit, could not pass his own seed, came and told us these things and made it clear to us, and the Holy Spirit bore witness in our own lives that this was right.
Okay.
If there's one Spirit, there's one hope that we have in this world, and it's not man-made systems, the world's falling apart. There's one Lord. There's one faith, not a bunch of religions out there. The world wants to tell you you can be saved through all kinds of ways. But there's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God. One Father. Right? And he goes on to say, and he has sent a fivefold ministry for your perfecting. These things are coming to you. This is what it is. And he sent ministry to help you get to this, what we're talking about. He sent you fivefold ministry to help you do those things and get you to what he calls perfecting of the saints.
Right.
Amen. He sent fivefold ministry to do this until we come to this place of unity of the faith. And so Paul says, because of all this, God sent me, and because of this, now you walk with this. And these are the things he's referring to. And he says, now don't you walk like other Gentiles walk. You put off the old man. Put on the new man, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How many knows I'm reading scripture? I'm actually just quoting scripture, right? This is what Paul, this is what the message has brought to us today, to fully understand how we can be exactly what Paul was talking about.
Right.
Amen. Put away lying. Be angry. Sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Yep.
How many of us still go mad, go to bed mad sometimes about somebody? I didn't see anybody raise their hand, but I do see some smiles. You know, a prophet says if you've got a funny feeling towards someone, you let that, right? But yet you see it. People still have it. They go for weeks, months, sometimes years. And so I ask you, are they possessing their land?
No.
And we wonder why we haven't finally had a body change. Well, because we've not possessed everything just yet. Don't steal. Work with your hands the thing that is good, not gambling.
Right?
Work with your hands the thing that's good. That's just my comment about gambling. So that you can have to give to him that needeth. That you can help others.
Right.
Have no corrupt communication. Oh, and by the way, don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because you can.
Right?
With the hint that the earnest.
Yep.
Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How we do it? How we do it on possessing it? Hey, I want this to come back into our own yard,
right,
to understand. If we want to overcome, if we want to be these things, then we've got to possess and fight and get these things in our experience correct.
Right?
And God's here present to do it. He's predestinated to you. Holy Spirit's here to help you. He sent you fivefold ministry to help you. And he's going to get somebody there.
Right.
So he goes on to say that don't be deceived. He says, no whoremonger. You know what a whoremonger is? Not faithful to their own mate. Right? Now think spiritual. Are we faithful to our mate? No whoremonger. I'm just speaking your Bible here. No whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, idolater, has any inheritance, says the Bible. We're talking about inheritance. Paul is saying, hey, here's what's given to you. But by the way, don't let someone deceive you into thinking that you can do these things and that you're going to have this in it, because you're not.
Right.
Right? You know, the Bible has teeth in it. Right? It's got backbone. And that's all I'm trying to show you here, that we've got to fight to have in our experience the obedience of these things. Amen. It says, don't be deceived. Because there's just no place in heaven or in the new, this promised land for those people who are like that. That's what the scripture said. Go there and read it. Amen. He goes on to say, here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. They're going to tell you tongues and all that. He didn't name tongues there. They're going to tell you this and that. No, he tells you, here's what the fruit of the Spirit is.
Right.
Have we not heard clearly today what the fruit of the Spirit is?
Right.
Yep. Right? Tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. And then he also says, but here's what the works of the flesh are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's leaving it up. Hey, you possess it. You get this under your belt. And you'll seek after the fruits of the Spirit, and you will shun these works of the flesh. I always thought it was neat that it was fruits of the Spirit, because fruit can reproduce more. But works of the flesh, it didn't speak of that like fruit. It's just works.
Right.
There's no fruit coming out of that. He says that we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Well, how do you do that? By embracing his truth and watching the supernatural hand of God prove that you're accepted by living the way you're living according to his words. That's how you don't like, I'm gonna prove to you that God is real, or I'm gonna prove. No, you just walk it, and God makes sure that it's vindicated.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He says, be awake, be sober, redeem the time. Right? Because the enemy is the one that comes in when you're asleep, like a thief in the night. Don't be asleep. Be awake, be sober, and redeem the time. Use your time for that which leads to this kingdom of eternal life, that which is beneficial to that. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns. Sing to yourself. Speak to yourself and encourage yourself. When you're at work and you feel down, begin to sing to songs unto the Lord. Encourage, quote scriptures. Right? Why is he saying it? Because that's part of your battle.
Right.
That's part of how you overcome.
Right.
He says, and give thanks always.
Yeah.
Always giving thanks. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And it's like that in every case. Your own husband. Because God knew how man would come along and say, oh, it says be obedient to the husband. Say, you got to obey me, even though you're not my wife. You know how man is. But to your own husbands. Husbands, act like Christ and give yourselves for your family. That in itself, there's struggles with people under the message. They ain't even doing a very good job at that. Right? So how close are we? When you look at that, how much possessing are we of possessing of this land? Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Servants, obey your masters. Masters, treat your servants right. Do the same to them. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord.
Right.
Be strong in the Lord. And understand this, he says, it's in my phrase, but understand this, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Right.
You're wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual weaknesses in high places.
Yeah.
So therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God.
Right.
If this was in modern days, he would have said, strap your 357 on your side.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. If it was a physical fight. It's not.
No.
See? So, how many of you would want to go fight a fight without any weapons, without any training, without any exercise in your weaponry? You wouldn't do that. Right? So, spiritually speaking, put on this whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, all these things, shield of faith, right?
Yeah.
Put all those on. You know, the shield, all those other cover certain places. You know, there's two of them that don't cover specifics, and that is the sword and that is the shield. The shield can be used to protect anything. Shield of faith, right?
Yeah.
You know, feet shod with prayer, that'll protect your feet, only your feet, right? But the shield of faith can be moved at any dart that comes from any direction from Satan. Faith can defend that, right? But all those are defensive. There's only one that you can actually kill your enemy with. Right? We spend all our time defending all this, you know. But God says, you got to destroy your enemy. And the only way you can do that, oh, you might sling and try to hit him with your shield or kick him or something like that, but that sword of the Spirit,
right,
no matter which way you swing it, it's cutting.
Right.
Right?
Right?
What if it was only one-sided? And you got twisted in your hand, and you're like, oh! No, it's double-edged. It cuts no matter which way you swing it.
Man.
That means it can destroy the enemy, and it can harm your brothers and sisters. Right?
Right.
That's right. But take it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do these things.
Right.
And he ends, he says, praying always. Right. Amen?
Amen.
So, we know these things. We've heard them. Are we doing them? Are we possessing them? We know that God has taken us out of denominational Egypt. I hope we can say this. All right, I hope we can say this. I know he's taking me out of Egypt. I have no desire to go back there.
Right.
Even if I have to sit out here without any, you know, without comforts of life, I am willing. I do not want what Egypt brought. There's nothing in me that's trying to rise up and question God's word, the prophet that he sent, and the vindication. I'm not trying to rise up. I'm not trying to get a name for myself. You know, there's a lot of ministries out there under the message, and really what they want is they want notoriety themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And from what I see in scriptures, that is
not right.
There's no place for that.
Right.
And there are plenty out there that are genuine men who genuinely serving God from a pure heart, have no desire for any fame. They just want to help God's people.
Right.
Amen. And so I hope we can say we're not trying to do that. And we're not trying to go into this thing uncircumcised.
Right.
I'm speaking of what we've been talking about. How they tried to go over and hey, they had to roll back the reproach of Egypt because a lot of their children hadn't been circumcised. Right? And so they had to deal with that. So we're not trying. We'll tell you. Our children have to have the Holy Spirit in their life. They have to have that circumcision, cutting away of the sinful desires of the heart.
Right.
They have to have that. We're not trying. We want to possess, and we're not trying to go in and say we want to possess these things, but we still want sin. We're not trying to do that. I hope we can say that in our own walk. And I'm just saying, examine yourself, and you find something in yourself that you know that you can't fully own up to this, then you know there's a place for your work. And God is a God that he will help you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're already under the blood. You're already perfect in his sight. But you've got to fight this thing out. Amen.
Right.
And so, we're not trying to dress like the Babylonians, like Achan was.
Right.
Right? We're not trying to dress and act like the world or act like denominations where you're talking about worldly natural apparel and living like the world. We're not trying to be like the denominations. We're not trying to dress like the Babylonians.
Right.
We have no desire for that imagery on us. I hope
right.
we can say that. Because if you can't say that, that's where you need to start, right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That, right there. Amen. You've not fully died going across Jordan if you're still wanting those things. And so, when I say that, you remember the vision the prophet had about the churches. We don't want to dress like that church, the church that Brother Ram saw, that were dressed with almost nothing on and dancing to rock and roll music.
Yep.
See, that's the way God sees the churches.
Right.
And we don't want that imagery. That's what Babylon looks like. That's what sin looks like. That's what denominational world looks like to God. Right? We don't want that. So we're not trying to do that. I want everybody to catch this. I want everybody to hear this part right here. In that vision where he finally saw that there was a bride once again that come around and she was fully dressed and marching to armored Christian soldiers.
Yep.
The sequence of this message unfolding, and we're getting closer, and he's revealed what all these other churches and how naked they are, and now there's finally a bride, and that bride, some of them begin to get out of step.
Right.
And what were they getting out of step to? They were getting out a step of onward Christian soldiers marching right on up in a rapture. They were getting out of step to that because they started looking at that other church that was still dressing this way, and they could do this, and they could do that, and they didn't have to live holy. And they understand? They were starting to look at that. Why would we look at those things? Because if you look at those things, you're going to get out of step.
Right.
But thank God, according to the vision, thank God that the prophet and the message said, get back in line.
Get back in line. Right.
Right?
Man.
And I believe that's where we're at now. The ministry, right, screaming out, get back in line. Quit looking at those other churches that he's already declared what's going on. You can see their fruit, what's in there, where they're headed.
Right.
Get back in line.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's where we are.
Right.
Amen. This is our battle. This is the battle. This is the promised land that we are to possess. And we possess this well. It ends in a body change.
Right.
It ends in a rapture. You know, thinking about Achan when he did that, why on earth was he thinking he was going to do with that silver and that gold and that Babylonian garment? Coming into the promised land, we're all going to settle down. Everybody's going to have their place. We're going to have a glorious church. And all of a sudden, one day, Achan's going to step out with that garment on. And everybody else in this bride movement is going to look at what he's wearing. What kind of influence is that going to be given? Think about it. What did he think he was going to do? Just wear it inside his house? No, there's no prestige in that. His intention was at some point he could put that thing on. At some point when he thought everything was okay, that he could put that on and start walking around and start influencing other people to want to live like Babylon. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. You know, God has a plow. He can plow. So, what do you think he was going to do with that gold and silver? Just keep it? You know good and well that he would take that, and at some point he would start being able to afford things and elevate himself above everybody else.
Right.
Does that sound like that belongs over there?
No.
You see what I'm saying? When you see people, if they want you to think they're better than somebody else and they're more revelated than somebody else and they don't have the humility now, you know that inspiration comes from the wrong place.
Right.
Even though we're over here and we're in the hour of trying to possess things, you've got Achans. And like the song says, when we get there, the Achans will be far away.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. They don't go there. Right?
Amen.
So it's a time for us to examine ourselves. What's my attitude toward everybody else? Do I think I'm better than somebody else and everybody else? And do I think I have a better ministry? No, I don't have a better ministry than anybody else. But they don't have any better than me in God's eyes. We all have our position and our place. And when we're placed by this word and we get to where we're supposed to be and we're just simply out of humility acting out what we're supposed to do, and God's economy, that's a soldier that needs to ride with him in his chariot, his victory chariot, which is right on out of here.
Right.
Amen. That's what the prophet, when he says it, think about that. When he tells those stories about that Roman general, he's like, I want somebody to ride my victory. And he has all these soldiers, but he finds one and he's all hacked to pieces. Like, how'd you get like this? He said, I got it fighting my battles for my king or whatever. He says, you're the one, right? You're the one. You're going to be the one that's going to ride with me.
Yeah.
Amen. So Achan would have been nothing but just a bad influence.
Right.
So what happened to Achan?
Wow.
Don't miss this part. You know, back when Korah and all them rose up against Moses, the earth opened them up, swallowed them up.
Right.
But in this case, what happened? The authority of the church began to be made known. Right? Did we see that with Ananias and Sapphira? Does that have to come back again? Are we entering into time where people begin to try and act like they're moving into this, and yet their lives, they're hiding things that God, through ministry or whatever, God is going to strike that thing down?
Yep.
Right?
Right.
I know this is pastoring, digging, but these things we should look at, and they're real.
Yeah. Right.
And I think we could all say, if we could just get all of this under our belt and successfully possess this, every enemy would be falling.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Everyone would be falling. So, there in 2 Corinthians, there where 17 and 18, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." See, that's what Achan did. The accursed thing. He wanted that. And here Paul is saying in his teachings there, come out from among them, be separate. And if you'll do that, then I'll be your father and you'll be my sons, my daughters. Mm-hmm. Adoption.
Right.
Fully come out away from all that stuff and come into the, and this is where you're going to see, I am your father and you are my sons,
amen,
my daughters.
Right.
You're going to see the benefits of what that relationship really produces.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you come out and obey all these things. So, what is the message saying when it says all these things? It's saying to us, we're at the end. Here's what you didn't know. It's been hidden till now, but now it's being made known to you.
Right.
Amen? Something that God gave you long ago. So come out from among those things. Come into this land that I've given you. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me adopt you. Let me place you. Let be partakers of this Ephesians that has come again.
Right.
Amen. And I'll end by saying this. The prophet said the parallel that he really showed there was with Ephesus in Joshua was this. Moses could bring them out with law. Joshua was grace. Joshua could take him in. That means we have to understand here that there's a part of this message that could take us out in a judgment, a powerful hand of God, but it shifts. And where a prophet could do all the work, but then it shifts to a place where now God wants to continue moving, but it's where we've got to believe. And this is where the grace of God goes ahead and
yeah,
takes us right on in anyway.
And
because the early church fell away, God poured out his grace, his message of grace. We read it there, Apostle Paul. He poured that out then, and they fell away. They fell from grace. So God comes again at the end time, and he does another measure of grace that will go ahead and take us right on into.
Right.
And that, my brother and sister, is this double grace that I believe is spoken there in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. Amen? If she'll bring that up there, Zechariah 4, verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Remember, Zerubbabel was a prince who helped bring them out of Babylon? Right? Thou shalt become a plain. This great mountain will become a plain before Zerubbabel. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Where else do you see in the scripture where he double says something? Babylon is fallen, is fallen.
Yep.
This thing is coming to an end, and he wants everybody to understand they have fallen, they have fallen.
Yep.
But to the bride is grace,
grace,
grace.
Amen.
Amen. We have a lot to be happy about.
Amen.
Let's bow our hearts as the musicians come. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house with your children, and thank you for this word. Lord, it's a correction to all of us. But Lord, we can see this is what we want. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would seal these things up in the heart of your children so that when they go from this place, they forget not these things. That if there was a place in this morning service that their heart was pricked with that truth, you would not let that die down until they deal with it. Lord, because therein lies victory for them to address these things where they know that the enemies have been holding them back. Lord, you have promised that we can have all these things. And I ask, Lord, that you help each one of us as we move forward. We know, God, you will confirm these things when we stay with your word. And I ask, God, that it help your children this morning. And if any of them realize there are places, Lord, where they need help, may they right now commit to you and ask God, bring that strength in my life. Bring that determination, that faith in my life. Bring that clarity, that understanding. Get rid of the confusion that I may know what your will is, that I'm able to walk in it and prove what is acceptable to you in this day. Lord, that the fruit in my life will show that you have established us and we're not being caught, tossed about by every wind and doctrine that runs every direction. But Lord, we've become stable. Lord, that you put the stabilizers on our ship, that as we go through this storm, we sink not. We ask, Lord, for these things because we believe you promised it to us. And Lord, we know that you can perform it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Bless you. You've been a good audience today. And trust the Lord has spoke to your hearts in some form or fashion. Say, Lord, everything in my heart is to adore you. And if you adore him, that is to adore his word. Amen. To see that in your life. He'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
You know, those people, they looked out across that promised land. It was beautiful and all that. They knew that there were battles they were going to have to fight. But they believed and knew that God would give them victories over everyone. Yeah. And we know what happened when they didn't. When they didn't have things just exactly right. There were problems. So we can again look at ourselves and say, perhaps that's where I am. Or I have embraced this message, but perhaps I don't have complete victory because there's some things I'm just not quite yet embracing. Amen? Amen. But God has given it to you. Amen. Every bit of it. How did we get where we are now if he hadn't shown special favor to show these things to us? Amen. So may the Lord bless you. So next Sunday I'll be away. We're going to go to meetings up there in Kansas. That's where it is, right? Kansas? So you get to hear a good preacher next weekend. Brother Dan was a good preacher. You do remember that. Okay. So I'm sure that you'll enjoy that service. And so just be in prayer for us as we travel, and just pray that the Lord will speak to my heart. You know, the preacher needs time away to feed on things, you know, maybe be blessed from other ministries. So we're going to take that time next weekend and do those things. So, amen. How many will be here to support Brother Daniel?
Amen.
All right. Amen. So, amen. I don't think there's any other announcements or anything. Just remember also, I think the other day I announced Brother Ben Beard's meetings there coming up in September. And I don't remember the dates on it right now, but I'm sure he would enjoy having you there for those. You love him?
Amen.
Let's sing this again and we can do this better.